What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pro-Life Today on WSFI-FM. That's 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler. Today, I have some very interesting guests. My wife, Ann Scheidler, who does everything at our office, the Pro-Life Action League, but she's also expert in sidewalk counseling and gives talks all over the country on how to sidewalk counsel a woman out of abortion right at the abortion clinic. Bonnie Quirk is here. She's the head of Lake County Right to Life. And our special guest today is Sarah Vanderlip of Informed Choices. That's a pregnancy resource center. We're going to talk today about the mother and child, but I'd like for Sarah to give us some background in her organization. Sarah?
Absolutely. Informed Choices started in 1987 in Wakanda. We now have two pregnancy centers, one in Grays Lake and one in Crystal Lake. And so in 2012, we added ultrasounds to our services. So we're seeing 400 or 500 women every year and counseling through the options that they have when they find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy.
And what do they do when they see their baby? Does that really
impact
them?
The ultrasound absolutely makes a world of difference. 80% of the time, that will change their mind. When they call and ask, do you do an abortion? If we can get them in, talk to them, offer the ultrasound, that will change their mind about the decision.
Isn't that a miracle? What a miraculous
absolutely
thing to have in our day and age. And everybody's using them now. I see so many ultrasounds on the refrigerators, which we used to call ice boxes in my day, in the old days of yore. This Christmas season that we're in, we see the nativity set all over the place. Even in Chicago, it's right down in the heart of the city, in the plaza. And we were up down there helping to put it up and dedicate it the other day. We see the mother and we see the child. That's what it's all about. Christmas is about a baby and a mother who brought the baby under trying circumstances. So with the scene highlighting mother and child, we thought we'd talk today a little bit about the relationship between mother and child and the attitude toward children, the attitude that parents have toward children. And Anne came up with this idea, so I'm going to let her explain a little bit what she has in mind for our conversation today.
Yeah, this is a topic that has really intrigued me for a very long time. Well, our involvement in pro-life has been about 43 years. And Joe and I have 7 children. So children have always, and I'm one of 10 children. That was the oldest, so there were always little children in my life. And they were always really precious. Whenever my mother would announce another baby was coming, everybody was excited. And with our own family, if one of our kids announces a baby's coming, it's just, we are the people you should tell about that news because we love that. And yet, so much of society views that as bad news or questionable news unless it was a real planned event. So instead of viewing the child as a gift and being thrilled to accept the gift, whether you were expecting that gift or it was a surprise, it's just that baby doesn't have the advantage of being looked at that way in modern culture. In fact, I'm just reading a book about a woman named Chiara Corbella Petrillo, who I believe is being considered for sainthood, a young woman who had 2 troubled pregnancies where the babies didn't survive, and then she herself contracted cancer. And in the early on in the book, she talks about the fact that our current civilization treats the child as the enemy instead of the gift. And she says that a child takes life away from the mother, impedes her from certain existential consequences and career opportunities, people will say, oh dear, how can we manage another child? That's not the way you receive a gift. You wouldn't say, oh, how can we manage another diamond, or how can we handle more money? But a child, too often seen as a burden and a liability, and that's something that needs to be looked at and corrected in order to get people to view children as members of the human race, our brothers and sisters. So,
and Bonnie, you've been in the pro-life movement forever, and with the nativity, we expect Mary to say yes. I mean, what a disaster. I mean, it's expected, and she said yes. Be it done to me according to thy word. This should be the attitude toward a new child. But abortion has come along, and as St. John Paul II says, it's the culture of death, that we don't say yes. There's a wedge driven between the mother and child, just as Anne was pointing out. What are some of your reflections on what has happened to our society?
I think there's been a very subtle but profound shift from accepting a child as a gift to a child as a commodity, a right, something that if I want to have this baby, I'll have it, and if I don't want to have this baby, I can have an abortion, I can practice contraception, I can do any number of things. And the subtle shift, I think, comes upon us sometimes without us realizing it. And I, too, come from a fairly large family, and I have six children. And the last baby that we had, they had a shower, but she knew what she was going to have. And it seems subtle at first, but because we were always surprised. We never knew what we were going to have. That was half the fun. You know, and that's why the colors were always yellow and green when you had a baby shower, because you didn't know what you were having. Now it seems as if life is planned for this child who is accepted only if it's wanted, or if it's a commodity that they want to have to get the pinks and blues and the shower gifts that they want. And I certainly don't think everybody thinks of showers that way, but I think it's a subtle but profound shift from a gift, which you don't know what you're unwrapping when you get a gift, but you are so surprised and excited no matter what it is. And the same is true for a baby. I think, you know, it's God's gift to you, whether it's a boy or a girl or two babies or three babies. But when it's so planned for, it takes some of that excitement away, and is a profound shift, I think, in our culture.
When you said that concept of a baby as a commodity, as a child as a commodity, that people feel entitled to it when they've decided they want it, mm-hmm. and they can buy it at an IVF clinic or some
hire
such
a surrogate.
Thing. Yeah, or hire a surrogate to produce the child for them, which is a whole different way of looking at life. We are blessed if God gives us a child. But if he chooses that that's not going to be our gift, that we are going to have something else in our lives, or our love for children should be expressed in some other way, we need to trust that he knows best. But the notion you can buy it just like you can buy a new car changes the whole dynamic of the family and the relationship.
Well, and I think if you look at other cultures, you see that shift. China, who puts the emphasis on male, one child, but it's
yes,
male.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a commodity because if it's a female, probably doesn't survive.
And it's going to wind up a disaster, too, because they're going to have all these men who can't find a woman to marry. And so that leads to other improprieties and sins and makes a woman almost a commodity rather than a wife. I was wondering, Sarah, in What's the impact you see coming to you, women coming to you with what are some of the crises that they're in?
Frequently it's pressure from a boyfriend or a parent that influences their decision greatly, which is why it's real valuable if we can get the boyfriend or the mother to be part of that ultrasound. That helps in that decision. But probably the most often referred to stress or outside factor is finances. How do I pay for this? Because there's not the security of an established home in this situation. She doesn't know if the boyfriend will stay, and likely he won't.
Are most of the women you see unmarried?
Yes.
That's one of the other problems, too. No father.
Right.
And that's an unnatural situation, which could cause us all kinds of troubles later on when you have no father image. People don't realize that's the importance of a father in the family. They think you can get along okay just with mom, but you don't, because the boy doesn't have the model that he needs to become a father himself. So I just will take a little short break here on Pro-Life Today. I'm Joe Scheidler. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Bonnie Quirk, Sarah Vanderlip, and my wife, Ann Scheidler.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIRadio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, wishing all of you a very blessed Advent season. Holy Family has a great selection of Advent wreaths, calendars, and devotionals to help you prepare for the coming of the Lord. And this Christmas, why not consider a gift of faith for your friends and loved ones? Whether you are shopping for a child or adult, Holy Family has the perfect gift. From cradle medals to clinging crosses, baby Bibles to study Bibles, sacred jewelry to sacred art, Holy Family has it all. For 22 years, the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore has served as a resource for the faithful in Northeast Illinois and Southeast Wisconsin. Let us help you give the gift of faith. Our historic 164-year-old building is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, just 2 miles north of the state line. More information is available on Facebook.
Okay, we're back. This is Joe Scheidler with Pro-Life Today, WSFI. That's 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. We're talking about mothers, their children, the lack of fathers for the most part, and what's happening in our society today. The Pope just inaugurated the Year of Mercy. I think the timing was right. I think this country needs mercy desperately. We all need mercy, but a society that has gone the direction we have, where we have homes without a father, where we have single girls pregnant and going for help and at a loss for what to do. And so let's talk a little bit about the need for mercy and what we can do to help other people realize this, that we have this particular year to concentrate on God's great mercy, because we all need it desperately. And you came up with some of these ideas, so I'm going to turn the ball to you again.
Yeah, I think people were a little bit surprised, actually, when Pope Francis announced a Year of Mercy, because, of course, God's mercy is always there and available. But I believe he sees, from his vantage point, that there is a particular need right now to highlight God's mercy and to invite people to take advantage of it, especially, for instance, women who have had abortions. That's a particularly difficult situation for a woman to be in, and a lot of times women feel like they can't be forgiven, or that they've pushed God away, or God wouldn't listen to them because they've chosen an abortion. And as Sarah mentioned, a lot of times it's not on their own, in a vacuum, decision they made, but responding to pressure by somebody that's important in their lives. But even so, they're the ones that are left with it. They're the ones who actually went to that abortion clinic and underwent the procedure, and so they're left with that sense of loss and often a sense of guilt. And the Pope particularly emphasized that there would be special privileges granted to priests during this year of mercy to particularly invite women to come and seek that healing, which can be so freeing and give them a fresh start in life and a better feeling about themselves that helps to empower them to be able to be better mothers of other children they have, to be able to think about the children they aborted and to come to peace with that choice they made and get the forgiveness. So it will be very interesting to see how that information gets disseminated. How will people find out beyond maybe the news the day that the Pope opened the door and the Year of Mercy began? How will women find out about it in their churches or in WSFI radio, various outlets where we got to find ways to get that information out so that people realize this is a great opportunity to take advantage of the Lord's mercy and the invitation.
One time I was in Washington, D.C., and I'd gotten Norma McCorvey aside. She was the Roe of Roe v. Wade. And she was going to speak to a special group that wanted to hear her, and I had a little room reserved, and we had probably 50 people in there. And Norma came in and got to the stand, and she couldn't talk. She just burst out crying and left the room, which left me kind of in a spot. I had to get up and try to give her a talk for her. But it hit her so hard that she had gone to Mexico. She'd had this abortion, I believe, didn't she?
She never did have an abortion.
She didn't have the abortion.
No, they used her case of being pregnant for the Supreme Court decision, but she never actually had an abortion. But she felt such responsibility for the millions of babies who were aborted after Roe v. Wade.
That's true. She had, her daughter had left her, and she tried to get in touch with her. She found her, finally, and tried to get in touch with her, and the daughter didn't want to have anything to do with her. Because she didn't, and she was thinking of an abortion, and same with Sandra Cano, the Doe v. Bolton, that she never had an abortion. They used these women, but by using them, they produced 50, 60 million abortions with the two twins' decisions, but I had to explain what Norma McCorvey felt. She would go by a play yard, a playground, and it would be empty or something, and she would feel that she had emptied that playground. Terrible guilt that people feel that have been involved in abortion one way or another. The men who have taken their girlfriends. I remember there was Mr. Shostek had written a book on men and abortion, and he wanted me to do a part of a chapter, and I read the other men's statements, and almost all of them deep down regretted being involved in abortion. Mm-hmm. Even if they would say, maybe it strengthened our union and all that sort of thing, deep down every one of them was sorry that he had been involved in an abortion and needed forgiveness. And we just have to have blind trust that God forgives. And we don't get an answer. We just have to know that God is forgiving. And I think this year of mercy if it does nothing else, it should make that reality come home to people, that God is merciful. I remember there was a professor that used to say, he was at, I think, over in Ohio, he'd say, if somewhere in your term paper you make it clear that God is infinitely merciful, you won't fail. I mean, you'll get a good grade. He was so into God's infinite mercy, and that's how we have to think of it, not just mercy, not just a certain limit, but infinite mercy. And that's what we have to stress in this year of mercy, I believe.
Don't you think that this culture, which is so responds in violence and responds in guilt, the whole culture needs mercy.
It does.
The entire culture.
Yeah, something is seriously wrong. Look at all these violent outbursts we've been experiencing around the world, and in some cases blaming on ISIS. But, you know, a lot of it is just, I think, people who are marginalized and they're distanced from God, and they're angry and lashing out. We need so much healing and so much mercy.
We do.
In our world.
We do. And I think that separation of mother and child through abortion plants the seeds of guilt and hostility, because
yeah.
Most people, when they do something wrong, do one of two things. They say they're sorry, or they cover it up with other actions to protect themselves. And I think that's what's happened with many women. I don't, you know.
But they never fully get past it. As much as they try to stuff it down, it's always there with them until they find healing. And so it's important that they participate in some counseling or post-abortion program where they can talk with other women and find healing and forgiveness, because nobody that I've seen ever says, I'm really glad I had that abortion. But when they bring their baby in to see us, they never say, I wish I would have had that abortion. Well, so there's this guilt with that abortion decision that's really hard to get past. And we've seen girls that had an abortion 2 weeks ago call us and want to talk about the abortion, and it might be a 40-year-old woman who's been carrying that secret for 30-some-odd years, but it affects them the same until they've processed it and found forgiveness.
I read an article a few years back by a feminist who still claimed to be pro-choice. But the gist of her article was that it is too big a responsibility to place on women to allow them to kill their children. Oddly, she still thought they should have the choice, but that somehow it was just, it did bad things to women. She could recognize that even in her odd philosophy. You know,
some years ago, we were in Washington, D.C. for the March for Life, and at the same time, a group, Rejoice for Choice, was having a ceremony in the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, and they were honoring abortion and the right to abortion. And so there were about seven or eight of us flying out, so we met at a Roy Rogers nearby, near the church, made a sign that said sacrilege. And we went into the church and spread around so that we would not all be in a cluster. And at a certain point, when a woman minister was up in the pulpit talking about man's dominion over animals and things and so on, she included dominion over the unborn, as though it was some kind of an animal that you could decide what to do with. So I couldn't take it. I said, now. And three of us, all four and a half, got up, Greg Morrow and Rich Freeman and myself, we went into the sanctuary. We put our hats on, and we said, this isn't a religious ceremony, this is a sacrilege, and we held the sign up. And of course, being very tall, these women could not reach the sign to pull it down. So I said, to make this a religious ceremony, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And so we started the Our Father, and some people automatically joined in, even though they didn't like us, but our plants around in the church started the Our Father, and then we started down the aisle. And I remember it just was a proper ending to the thing. Well, meanwhile, they had called the police. So when we got to the back of the church, they had hundreds and hundreds of green and white balloons, and we let them loose in the ceiling. So they were supposed to go outside, but they went up to the ceiling. And then when we got out, the police were arriving. So we said, hurry up, get in there. And then we went and joined them. Right. But the thing was, rejoice for choice. Rejoice for the choice of killing one of your children is so blasphemous that we just couldn't tolerate it. And so,
and of course, Planned Parenthood does that every year. Every year they hold celebrations in cities all over the country. One will be downtown Chicago at some restaurant or something on January 21st or 22nd. Every year they do this, and they celebrate their choice. Rejoice for choice. Okay. Never acknowledging that how many people die because of that.
Do you remember Bill Baird with his cross?
Yes.
How he used to march. He would be carrying a cross the size that Christ would carry on his shoulder, and the
styrofoam,
women were
of course.
Yeah, styrofoam, weighed about an ounce. I saw that.
I remember the first time I saw him, I thought, what is he doing?
Bill Baird and I did many, many debates on college campuses. And it was funny because people were afraid to have us. They would fly us in on different planes, and they would have us in different hotels. But we'd always get together. And it was funny because Bill and I totally disagreed absolutely on everything on stage. But we'd get together afterwards, and he would call me. I would get a call from Bill Baird seeing how my health was. And he had a new formula for breakfast, a drink that he fixed at breakfast. But I felt sorry for Bill. I don't know what's happened to him. I haven't heard from him lately. But, you know, he had a clinic in New York, Hempstead, New York. And his wife was a born again, and the children, and they all left him. So Bill lived alone. He was a very, very unhappy person. But he stayed with the abortion thing and took a great deal of credit. He has a couple of cases before the Supreme Court because he went into the high schools and colleges and so on and handed out contraceptives. And there's Bilotti versus Baird, and what do you know, the other one? There are two Supreme Court
cases on the right to be able to give contraceptives to unmarried people. First it was married people, and then unmarried people, that's where the right to privacy was established by the Supreme Court that the Blackmun Court used when they wrote the opinion in Roe v. Wade. So he had that on his conscience.
But he was very proud of that he had been the instigator of the Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton. They were based on his cases of giving contraceptives without any problems. So we've seen the disintegration morally in this country over 50-some years, and it's at a point now where I think people are starting to wake up a little bit and listen to us. I'm writing a book right now called Racketeer for Life, because I spent 28 years in
court?
Federal courts fighting a racketeer charge, which they now have against David DeLeiden for going after Planned Parenthood's use of body parts, maybe fetal body parts. So it's been a long, hard fight, and it's not over. And so I just think we ought to turn to Our Lady, and we have her statue right here in the studio, Pregnant Mary. And it's becoming very popular. People like this statue of Mary. Very obvious, she's carrying a baby, and that baby is our Savior, Jesus Christ. So on that note, I think it's about time to wind down this program and listen in next week again to Pro-Life Today. I have some more interesting guests, or maybe the same interesting guests with a different subject. So this is WSFI FM 88.5 Catholic Radio. Remember that word, Catholic. I'm Joe Scheidler. Thanks for listening.